preacher.
Yes, sir.
All right, good evening. Another great day to be in the Lord's house. Amen. Amen. You know, there was a guy in the church that I grew up at. His name was Brother Casey. And he always gave the Sunday school report Sunday night. And he'd always, that was his catchphrase. He'd say, another great day to be in the Lord's house. Amen. Amen. Except when he was sick. Then nobody knew if it was a great day to be in the Lord's house. Because he said it so often. But I do think it is another great day to be in the Lord's house. And church is the Sunday night place to be. Amen. I say it a lot because it truly is. It's the Sunday night place to be. Of all the things you could be doing on a Sunday night, you have chosen the best. And we're glad you're here tonight. I know the Lord is. And He's got something for all of us. Yeah. We just open up our hearts. And I got a question for you. Tonight is going to be kind of a spiritual checkup for all of us. Nobody likes going to the doctor, especially for a checkup. You know, when you're young, it seems like there's not really a whole lot wrong with you. But as you get older, the doctor starts pointing out more and more things. And then you just start to dread going to the doctor. And you know what happens? It's really sad. When you get older, they don't give you a lollipop at the very end. I don't know why. I feel like the doctor would be a little bit more of a pleasant experience. But we're going to do kind of a spiritual checkup tonight. And I'm not going to play the doctor here. That's going to be the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit, which we talked about this morning, is going to go into our hearts and do kind of a checkup and see how we're doing. Go to the book of John, if you would. John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15. And if you would you stand with me? We're just going to read the first few verses of the chapter. We'll read several more through the evening, but just for right now, let's read the first few verses. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. I got a question for you tonight. How's your fruit? That's the big question for tonight, to ask yourself, how's my fruit?
Yeah.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity to meet in your house once again and to open up your word. I pray that you would speak to all of our hearts, Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd point out what's missing, point out the things that are needful in our lives, and show us what we need, Lord, and I pray that we would all be fruitful Christians.
Yes.
I pray that this message would sink down into all of our hearts, myself included. And I do pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As I said before, this is a spiritual checkup. It's a checkup on our spiritual health. Now, the comparison here is to a grapevine. Now, I don't know if you have seen a grapevine, an actual grapevine, but they're not like they are in cartoons or TV shows. When I was a kid, I imagined a grapevine to just be kind of a wild vine that grows along fences, like in between chain link fences, until I actually saw a grapevine. It almost looks like a tree. That main vine, there's one main stem that comes up out of the ground, and from that stem, there are branches. And so although it is technically a vine, it almost looks like a tree. So I want you to get that mental picture in your head. One main stem and branches that come off of that. So what is the purpose of a grapevine? I'm going to ask the audience now, what is the purpose of a grapevine? Yeah. To grow grapes. It is not meant just to be aesthetically pleasing. A grapevine, a vineyard is not actually a very attractive thing. It can be pretty twisting and winding, and it can detract from the landscaping. So it's not just to look pretty, and it's not just to add value to the property. It is meant to grow grapes. That's the whole purpose of the grapevine. A grapevine that grows grapes is healthy, and it's because it's doing the thing that it was designed to do. If a grapevine fails to grow any fruit, well, then something is wrong with its health. We could look at all sorts of reasons why the grapes may not be growing, but one thing is certain, something is wrong. Something is wrong with the grapevine. There is something going on with the health. Now, we just read these verses. Jesus, once again, he's speaking to his disciples, and he makes the comparison. He says that he is the vine. He is the true vine, and we, his disciples, his followers, the children of God, we are the branches of that grapevine. So as believers, I want you to understand, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, this is gonna blow your mind if you haven't thought about this before. Do you understand you and Jesus are one?
Right.
We are one in Christ. We are connected with Christ. There is a reason why when we baptize, baptism identifies us with Christ. And this is why we do baptism by immersion and not by sprinkling, because it pictures when you get into the baptistry tank, you are dead. And when you go under the water, that's as if your dead body was being buried. And when you come back up out of the water, it's as if you have been resurrected. It's a picture of Jesus Christ and what happened with Him. Just as Jesus died, your sin nature died with Jesus on the cross. That's what Paul said when he said, "I am crucified with Christ."
Yeah.
And it's been buried, not under water, but under the blood of Christ. And you have been raised to walk in newness of life. Now understand, baptism is just a picture.
Yeah.
Baptism does not actually do those things for you. But it's the first step of a good conscience toward God.
Right.
And so understand, baptism kind of pictures that we are one with Christ. It kind of helps us with that picture there. And we're part of the family of God. When you get saved, it's like the vine grows another branch. The branch is part of the vine, and the vine is part of the branch. While they are two different parts, they are the same plant. Do you understand your life as a Christian is the same life as Christ's?
Amen.
And that is mind-blowing to think about. That is so amazing to think about, that my life now is Christ's life. We are part of the same plant. I'm just a branch off of the vine, but He supplies me with the nutrients and the life of the Christian life.
Yeah.
When someone gets saved, it's as if another branch grows off of that main vine. That's why it's called being born again.
Right.
You are spiritually born of God into the family of God through Christ Jesus. That's what it means by being born again. It's new life. If any man be in Christ, be in Christ, just like the branches are in the vine, and the vine is in the branches. And Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you." If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. There's that spiritual birth. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now look at verse number 4. It says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do," what is it?
Nothing.
If you like to underline things in your Bible, that would be one of those phrases. For without me, ye can do nothing.
Right.
So understand the picture that Jesus has here of this grapevine and the branches. The branches do not bear grapes all by themselves. The only reason the branches can bear grapes is because they're connected to the vine.
Right.
If you were to sever the tie between the branch and the vine is going to be just fine.
Yeah.
But the branch is not going to bear fruit like it ought to.
Yeah.
And remember, the whole purpose of a grapevine is to bear fruit. So understand what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, the only way you are going to bear fruit in the Christian life is if you are connected to me.
Yeah.
Right.
The moment you separate yourself from Jesus. Now listen, I'm not talking about losing your salvation. You can't lose your salvation.
Right.
But when you sever yourself, you take a step back from Christ. Don't expect to bear any fruit.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about what that fruit is here in just a moment. But understand, without Christ, you're not getting those nutrients. You're not getting the water that the vine provides to the branches. You're not getting any of that. And if you're not receiving any of that, then you start to die. And you don't produce any fruit. Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. Now, here's the thing. You can try your best to do good. Many people do.
Yeah.
You can try your dead level best to do good works, but you will eventually fail. It's just going to happen. We're humans. It's human nature. You can try to do good on your own. You can try to grow on your own. You can try to have a fruitful Christian life without Jesus, but you will fail. For without me, you can do nothing. You know, faking it will only take you so far.
Right.
So understand, it's a cycle. What ends up happening is you try, you come to the altar and you say, Lord, I'm gonna get rid of this sin in my life, and you try really hard. And you do pretty well for a couple of days, and then what happens? You fall off the wagon. And then you say, God, I'm going to try even harder next time. And you know what? You try even harder, and you make it a full week, and then you fail. And so you try harder and harder, and do you understand that's not going to work for you? It's trying harder to do better. Trying harder to do better never works.
Right.
It only results in frustration. And that's what a lot of Christians get hung up on. They try harder to do better. They fail. They get frustrated. And they realize, well, there's no point to it. And they walk away. There are so many Christians that used to be faithful members of their church who were servants of the living God, and they got frustrated and they wanted to blame the church. They wanted to blame the pastor. They wanted to blame their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ because of their failure, when really the failure was on their part. They were not connected to Christ.
Yeah.
They were not connected to Christ. To abide, Jesus uses that word, abide in me and I in you. That word abide means to live, to make God's word your home. That's what it means to abide in me, make God's word your safe space. The Bible is always talking about how God is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. You know, a lot of times Jesus loses his specialness to us. And instead of abiding in Christ when things get difficult, we abide in our homes or in our families, in our bank accounts, And we take refuge in so many other things when we should be taking refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. Abiding in Christ means living in His presence constantly. I love that song. Constantly abiding, Jesus is mine.
Yeah.
We ought to be constantly abiding, living in the presence of God. When I was the youth pastor at my last church, I did this with a couple teenagers. I took them and I duct taped them together. And I thought about doing that tonight. So just count yourself blessed that I did not bring some duct tape. All right? But I duct taped them together. And then I told them to do a series of tasks. And do you understand that in order for them to walk together and to do all the tasks together, they had to be going in the same direction?
Yeah.
They couldn't fight against it. They had to work together. And if we left them like that, do you understand how that would affect their lives? Now, what if that was the case with Jesus? We ought to be constantly connected with Jesus all the days of our life. And imagine how that would affect us if we were constantly connected to Jesus. Like the branch being connected to the vine, we ought to be connected to Christ and His attributes flow out of that vine into the branches, just like water and nutrients flow into the... We ought to express His attributes because they flow through us. Channels only is that hymn.
Yeah.
Boy, I just want to be a channel of Jesus Christ. I want to be an empty vessel that Jesus can use and for His glory and do mighty works just through me. Because without Him, we can do nothing. So what are these fruits that we've been talking about? What are the fruits of a Christian? Well, I'm glad you asked. We're going to go through a couple of things. Number one, the fruit of a Christian is another Christian.
Right.
The fruit of a Christian is another Christian. Hey, when you got a healthy branch that's flourishing on that vine, it's going to produce that fruit. You know what that fruit does? That fruit has the genetic material inside of those seeds so that it can reproduce itself. The fruit of a Christian is another Christian. Let me ask you, how many people will be in heaven because you were the one that told them about Christ? Because you were the one that planted that seed. Now there will be untold number of people from the people that we pass out tracts to. We will never know this side of heaven how just who is affected by that. But is there anybody that you can point to and say, they'll be in heaven because I'm the one that told them? Hey, that's a fruit-bearing Christian. When you are connected with Christ, His witness flows out of you and tells others about Him. The fruit of a Christian is another Christian. But look at verse number 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Look down at verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. Did you catch that? He says, here's another fruit of a Christian that's connected to Christ. That's answered prayer. That's a really good test to see how connected you are with Christ. Do you see your prayers answered? Because, hey, in order to see answered prayer, you must first actually pray.
Yeah.
And someone who is constantly abiding in Christ, someone who is constantly connected to Christ, is always communicating with them. They say communication is the basis of every good relationship. Many relationships fail because there's no communication. It would be a terrible thing if I went to work and I came home after working all day and I just kind of gave my wife a nod and a smile and I sat down and I ate my supper and just made a couple of grunting noises and then went to bed and never spoke a word to her. That relationship would not last very long. But how is it we can treat Christ that way? If we wouldn't treat the closest people in our lives like that, what makes us think that we can neglect our communication with Jesus? The fruit of a Christian is answered prayer. So we've seen other Christians, that's the fruit of a Christian. Answered prayer, that's another one. Look at verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Can I take a small time out for just a second? Jesus says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Do you understand? Jesus loves us with the same level of love that the Father loved the Son.
Wow.
That's amazing love. How can it be that Jesus loves us with the same amount of love that the Father loved the Son? That's amazing to me. But look in verse, we'll continue. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Look at verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You know what I see? Another fruit of a Christian is love.
Yeah.
When we are connected with Christ, when our lives are one with Jesus Christ, because He is love, we ought to be love. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye have love one to another. That's the thing that's going to show the world that we're followers of Christ, is love. Love is a fruit of the Christian. If you're here tonight and you can check up and say, I don't really exhibit that love, well, then you may not be connected fully with Christ. Yes, you're saved. You've got that position with Christ, but spiritually you are long distance friends. You've got to have love. Love is another fruit of the Christian. Here's another one, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You understand the fruit of a Christian is joy?
Yeah.
Joy comes from knowing Jesus as your Savior. Hey, there is something wonderful about knowing that you could step out of this building tonight and something tragic could happen to you, and it would only be the beginning of eternal bliss for you.
Amen.
We don't have to fear death. This world walks around in constant fear because they believe they only get one go around at this thing and then it's nothingness.
Right.
But we have the joy knowing not only is there more after this, we're on the right side of it. Because we're in Christ, if Christ ascended up into heaven, don't you think we would ascend up into heaven?
Yeah.
Hey, that's joy.
Hey.
I don't know about you, but that causes me to want to sing and not just drag on. The joy of the Lord is my strength. No! The joy of the Lord is our strength. You sing it out loud and proud because joy is the natural overflowing of being connected with Christ.
Amen.
That's what joy is. Joy is not happiness because happiness is just eternal. Happiness depends on your circumstances. But joy is above the circumstances. No matter how bad it gets down here, it's going to get gooder and gooder, as my old English teacher would say.
Hey.
Hey, cheer up, have joy, we'll soon be dead, I've heard a preacher say. And you know what, that's true, because then Our joy will be complete because we'll see our Savior face to face. Joy also comes from knowing that you're doing what you were destined to do. I told you, a grapevine, their whole job is to produce fruit. It's to produce grapes. And when you have a Christian who's bearing all of this fruit, there's that satisfaction and that joy knowing I'm doing my job. There are so many Christians today, I would venture to say the majority of Christians today, they are miserable and they hate their lives because they're not connected to Christ. And when you're not connected to Christ, you're not producing fruit. When you're not producing fruit, you're not doing the thing that God created you to do. Don't you hate being at work and doing a pointless task? There is nothing I hate more than doing something that has no purpose. No purpose at all. Did you ever read? There was a Sherlock Holmes story. And it was called The Red-Headed League. And what it was is there was an advertisement in the newspaper. And it promised, it was looking for a red-headed man to do a special task. And so this red-headed man, he applied and he got the job, and they sat him in a room all by himself, and for 8 hours he copied the phone book by hand. And he was paid twice his wage at his last store at the bank. And so he went to Sherlock Holmes and he said, "I don't understand what's going on here. Why did they want a red-headed man? Why did they need me to copy something out of the phone book? Why would they think my services are so valuable that they would pay me twice my last wages?" And it turns out the people that hired him were bank robbers. The man worked at the bank and they needed an excuse to get him out of the bank. And so they said, "He's got red hair. Let's say we're looking for a man with red hair." And they needed to keep him busy, so they had him copy out of the phone book. You understand, that man felt useless. And many Christians today feel useless because we're not doing the things that God created us to do, and that's to bear fruit. We're to be fruit-bearing Christians. You know, when you're connected with Christ, Galatians chapter number 5 tells us the fruits of the Spirit. And that's peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. You can tell if you're connected to Christ if you exhibit these things. And hey, here's the key. And this is what I really want to get across. Don't think that you can walk out of this service tonight and say, "Oh, I need to love more. So this week I'm really just going to go and try and love people." It's not going to work. You will fail. Don't leave this place and say, "Well, I need to work on my temperance. I need to work on my self-control this week. So this week I'm not going to lash out at anybody, and I'm just going to be nice, calm, cool, and collected." It's not going to work. You know why? Because you are the one trying to do it.
Yeah.
These things only happen when you're connected with Christ. Let me put it to you this way. A tree does not have to work hard to produce fruit. A tree does not have to work hard and say, "Okay, I'm going to produce fruit this week." It just naturally happens. Fruit is the result of just a naturally healthy tree. So understand that when we have a healthy relationship with Christ, when we are connected with Christ, you're not going to have to work on your love. You're not going to have to work on your peace or your long-suffering or your gentleness or your goodness or your meekness or things like that. It will be a natural outflow. Hey, if you have a problem with any of these fruits, or you're taking a look at your life right now and saying, "Brother Jesse, I don't have these fruits." Don't leave here saying, "Well, I'm just going to try harder." The problem is you need to be connected with Christ. You need to abide in Christ. Abide in His Word. If you lack in these areas, don't just try to improve the weak spot. That's like trying to put a Band-Aid on it instead of trying to treat the source of the problem. Because without Christ, we can do nothing. Work on your relationship with Christ. So here's the big question. How do we do that? How do you abide in Christ? How do you stay connected with Jesus throughout your week? Well, hey, how about prayer? Just talking with Him.
Yeah.
Communicating with Him. And hey, prayer doesn't just have to be you asking. Every time I come home, I ask my wife about her day. She asks about my day. When was the last time you just sat down with God and told Him about your day? Just told Him how it went today. A lot of people carry around a journal or a diary and they write down their feelings and their emotions and they feel like it gets it off their chest. That's what prayer is for. But how about this? Reading His Word. God gave us His Word.
Amen.
And we treat it like it's a coffee table book. It gathers dust. And the only time we pick it up is Sundays or Wednesdays. And that's when we go. Amen. Right? Hey, not just reading His Word, but meditating on God's Word through the day. This can be a hard one. This can be a difficult thing. I try to read God's Word every morning to start my day. And sometimes it's so early in the morning that my mind gets all foggy and groggy. And then later through the day, I try to think, what did I read in the Bible today? Sometimes I don't remember. Not only should we read God's Word, we ought to be meditating on it. That word meditate comes from another word, ruminate. Which it comes from like a ruminant animal. A ruminant animal, it's livestock. You ever wonder how these big 4,000 pound cows get to be that big just by eating grass? I don't know if you notice, but like grass doesn't have all that much nutrition in it. But what they do is they chew up that grass and they chew on it all day long.
Yeah.
They'll swallow it, and this gets really gross. Later, they'll throw it back up and chew on it some more. And they'll swallow it, and later, they throw it back up again. It does this a total of 4 times. Which, number one, is super gross.
Yeah.
But there's a lesson to be learned here. Always bringing it back to your mind, what you've read in God's Word that day. Bringing it back on so you can get every last bit of nutrition out of God's Word. That's what meditating on God's Word means. How about this? Listening to good Christ-honoring music.
Yeah.
Music creates an atmosphere. And I'm not going to preach about music tonight. I don't have time for that sort of thing. But I want you to understand, music creates an atmosphere. Do you know there was a company called Muzak? It's changed hands now. It's become a different company. But there was a company called Muzak. And their net worth, now last number I saw, this was back in 2018. Muzak was worth $100 billion. Billion-dollar company. So you'd think, what does this company do? Well, it is music-related. You probably guessed that from the title. But they're not making computers or phones like Apple. They're not selling everything under the sun, A to Z, like Amazon. They curate the background music for restaurants and shopping centers. When you go into Walmart and the music that's playing is created by Muzak. Because you know what? People figured out that music influences people's decisions. That's why when you go to a fancy restaurant, they play that soft, slow music. They want you to slow down because the longer you stay in there, the more money you spend. You go to McDonald's, and if you actually go inside, right? Who does that anymore? But if you go inside, they're playing the fast, peppy music the happy, peppy music because they want you to eat your food and get out. Music does create an atmosphere and it does influence us. And so one of the ways to stay connected to Christ is to listen to good, godly, Christ-honoring music. But how about this? Being thankful to God in all things, all of the time.
Yeah.
When you're constantly thankful, you're constantly thinking about how God has blessed you. Your mind is stayed on God's goodness.
Yeah.
Tell me you won't be connected to Christ thinking about that throughout the day. Basically, abiding in Christ is keeping God front and center in your heart and in your life and in your mind. You know, it reminds me back in Deuteronomy. The Jewish people have a tradition to this day. The Jewish people, when they are raising their children, they'll teach them their first words, mommy, daddy, things like that. But the very first scripture they ever learn is called the Shema, which says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." That's in Deuteronomy 6:5, by the way, if you want to commit that to memory. I think we ought to commit that one to memory.
Yeah.
And from the time they can learn how to speak, they are constantly saying, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might." And they repeat it over and over and over. And that's how they live their lives. If we lived our lives loving God with all our hearts and all our souls, all of our mind, all of our might, all of our strength, that would be abiding in Christ.
Yeah.
You'd start to experience that fruit growing. You know, sometimes God has to chisel away the unhealthy parts of us that are holding us back from bringing forth more fruit. Look at verse 2. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." So unfortunately, sometimes God has to take a look at our lives and say, "What's the thing that's holding you back from bringing forth fruit?" And he's got to take that part away. Look at verse number 6. "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." This is the unhealthy branch. This is the Christian that needs Jesus to take him to heaven, but nothing else. Jesus is just my get out of hell free card. He doesn't really care about how they live. They don't really care about bringing forth fruit. I just want to live independent from God. First of all, I would question if that person was really saved.
Right.
If you want nothing to do with Christ, then you may not truly be saved. But these are the people that are cut off from his life and his nutrients. They never grow. Eventually they wither because they aren't connected to the vine. They're taken away and destroyed because they're no good to the vine or the other branches. These are the Christians that walk away from church, God, and all spiritual things. They're miserable because they're not doing the thing they were designed to do, and that was to bear fruit. And they blame church for all their problems. We could all think of people like that. Sure. And I would pray that that doesn't happen to any one of us or any member of Bible Baptist Church.
Yeah.
But the thing that will determine you bearing fruit is how connected you are with Christ. "For without me ye can do nothing." I'll leave you with this. Jesus was telling the parable of the soils. You remember the story? A sower went out to sow seed. And some of the seed fell on good ground and some on bad ground. The seed didn't change, but it was the condition of the soil. So if you're not seeing fruit grow in your life, don't blame it on God. Don't blame it on all this church stuff is just too hard. Look at the soil. The same sun that melts ice hardens the clay. The sun never changes, but the material is what makes the difference. So I want you to look at the fruit of the Christian. Other Christians, love, joy, answered prayer, thankfulness, these fruits of the Spirit. And ask yourself, how's your fruit? In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. Please, do yourself a favor. Don't just say, I'm going to try harder to do better this week. If you're lacking in any of those areas, what you need to do is work on your relationship with Christ. Are you connected with Him? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. And we'll have a time of invitation. And this is what I'm going to ask you to do. Down here is what we have, an altar. And it's called an altar for a reason, because you come down here to alter your life.
Yeah.
An altar is where things come to die. So what are you going to bring to God to die on the altar tonight? Die that? Are you going to kill that selfishness and that pride? What's the thing that's holding you back from your relationship with Christ? Are you ready? Would you stand? Brother Myron, would you lead us in something? And if you need to do business with God, you just come down here. If you'd like us to pray with you, we will. Otherwise, you can feel free to pray at your seat. But please don't leave this place unchanged.
Page 157. Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power, and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Well, that was a good lesson. All of us, not a one of us, I don't think, go like to